a single mum, right? And whatever people say, it is different than being a single dad. Because women see single dads and go, oh, he's so good with his kids. Isn't he coping wonderfully? Oh, he's so good with his children. I must have sex with him now. Whereas men see single mums and they go, run him out, baggage! I went on a date with a guy that called my little boy baggage. He's 3. He's not baggage. He's hand luggage. He just fits in the overhead lockers. It's kind of perfect. Recently, my brother said, look, Shep, you've been separated for ages now. You really need to find yourself a new fella. Why don't you go on the internet? Because my brother found his girlfriend on the internet. I think it was eBay. So I joined an internet website. And to my surprise, right, on the online form that you had to fill in, one of the things you had to tick to see who you wanted was racial preference. And it said white, Caucasian, 3 boxes, not important, decidedly important, absolutely crucial. And I thought that's a little bit weird because your photo's up there in the first place, so you can just be racist in private. You know, why hurt anyone's feelings, right? So I want to show you this. I wrote an email to the administrator of this website. I wrote him an email, basically, in a nutshell, going, what are you on, mate? And he wrote back going, the choices we provide on our matching algorithms, I had to look that word up, nothing to do with sex, are for our users to find the perfect match. They are in no way indicative of someone being racist at all. White, Caucasian, absolutely crucial. All right, so I wrote back going, shut up, a bit more coherent than that. And then he wrote back and said, some people are more stringent than others when it comes to finding a partner. Doesn't that sound like a real dig at me? Like, oh, you'd shag any old colour. We merely help them find the right person by enabling them to measure height, weight, occupation, level of income, and ethnicity. Thing is, height, weight, occupation, level of income, they're all things that can be measured. How do you measure ethnicity? I had no idea how to measure my own when I was filling out the form. I had to look on a Dulux colour chart. Turns out I'm natural calico. This correspondence went on for quite a while, right? And tell me if you think I went too far. Eventually, I sent him a copy of the Nuremberg race laws. I'm not saying that this website is a Nazi organisation. I just think we should nip things in the bud at source. He wrote back to me and said, dear Shappy, I've enjoyed our correspondence. I have now noticed your name is Shappy Corsandi. Might you be the same Shappy Corsandi I saw on the Michael McIntyre Comedy Roadshow? If so, I am single. And I wondered if you'd like to go for a coffee. Won't this be a funny story to tell our kids? Smiley face. I wrote back. I said, thank you so much for your email. I'm very flattered. However, I've noticed your name is James Chowdhury. Little bit too brown for me. Natural colour code.
But it's not just like being an adult, like, that scares me. Like, I struggled when I was a child. Like, I was terrified all the time. Things my dad warned me about, like running with scissors. I hadn't even considered that till he suggested it. What about you? I've never been so excited about cutting something. I've even broken into a jog. It's gone bloody hell, I can't wait to open this fate. Oh my God, I've stabbed myself in the stomach. Why is there no warning on these things? But that's the thing about being a kid, like that you're kind of convinced into doing things, like that you don't want to do even though you just do them. Like weird things, like bobbing for apples. I don't know why you do that. I spent my childhood trying to avoid eating an apple. You put that apple in water. You put my hands behind my back, I will drown myself to eat that apple. It's me or the apple, I couldn't give a shit. I'm waterboarding for apples, that is fine with me. It's the thing, isn't it? If you make things into a competition, people want the prize, no matter what it is. Like those 2p pushing machines you get on Pierce. I spent my life trying to get rid of 2p's. you put them on a moving shelf. I'm going, I'm having all those 2p's if it kills me. Not just those 2p's, I'm getting this pound coin, I'm changing that into more 2p's. To get these 2p's. I go for the one that's not just 2p's, it's got extra items balanced on top. I want less than the 2p's. That's not just 2p's, is it? That's a Shabarang's key fob. I'm a Shabarang's, I've got keys, I'm having it. That's not just 2p's, that's a flump. A flump, I'd want it served on a bed of loose change. Also, a flump, retail price 1p. I am paying double for food poisoning. And I won't see these things in ages. The moment I see them, I am acting like I'm an expert, going, well, that one's not going to fall, I can see that. That one's a maybe, that one's going to pay out big. That is the 10p's, I'm going nowhere near that, I'm not made of money. No one's ever been on the 10p pushing machine, it's not Monte Carlo. Not a guy on the screen's going, but that guy's got a system, get him out, he's two Tamagotchis up, he'll ruin us. And you're going, I'm going to win big. Who has ever won big on the 2p pushing machine? It's gone, darling, good news, dinner's on me. I won big down at the pier. I have 400 kilos of loose change. Yes, book late, it will take me some time to walk there. The other one I'll always go on is the plastic horse racing where you'll bet on the horses. I don't know, I'll always go on that. But I don't know why. I always watch a few races to check the form. What am I expecting to see in that situation? Go, oh my God, that blue one's lame. Thank God I checked. The final one I go, is that dance simulator with the arrows coming up on the screen, the arrows on the floor. Just be stood for ages like this going, well, I tell you what, I am a better dancer than I thought. You do that in a nightclub, you are not a better dancer than you think. You like these moves, girls? Wait for the big one. Here it comes. There it is. Thank you very much.
And I love Argos, man. My woman took me there, man. I freaked out about Argos. You English people do stuff different. You got that catalog shopping at Argos. The only store where you keep the catalog at the store. Like people go, hey, do you want to go down to Argos and check out the catalog? Why didn't we bring it here? Because that's not what you do here. And then go down there and check if stuff's in stock or out of stock. Spend a day there. And I'll tell you something, Argos freaked me out. First time I ever walked into Argos, they made me feel like I was a spy. Because I walked up to that teller and I handed her this little piece of paper. And she just looked at me and went, okay. Go to checkpoint B. Yeah, I went to checkpoint B. They didn't even know who I was, man. I was like, you don't know me? I'm 376. I think you have a package for me. My woman, she loves Argos, man. My woman loves Argos because of that catalog. Women love catalogs. Catalog to a woman is like the Bible, except real. Yeah. Yeah, stuff actually happens in the catalog. My woman doesn't even need to look at the index to know what page the stuff she wants is on. My woman walk into Argos, just kick those doors open, grab her little red gambler pen there. Feel lucky, Tom. And she'll flip through that catalog like she was a Jedi Knight. She'll be like, that's what I want, Tom. And I'm always amazed. I'm like, wow, how'd you do that? She goes, I'll show you something else, Tom. That's what you want. And I'm standing there looking at it going, I don't even know what I want. And then I look at it and go, holy shit, that is what I want. A trampoline. Yeah, because I didn't want a trampoline for $129 $99.95, but for $79.95, I needed a trampoline. I'm gonna tell you something, you can't just buy no trampoline. You gotta get all your trampoline trimmings. Huh? Gotta get that safety cage in case you don't know how to bounce up and down. One of these sideway bouncers. Turns out I'm a sideway bouncer. I was bouncing from side to side. I smashed my head against that safety bar, and I'm bleeding in the safety cage. Thank God that safety bar was there to stop me from landing on that soft grass.
I'd love to see England play New Zealand in the rugby in the finals. And while the All Blacks are doing the haka, the English team is doing a little bit of Morris dancing. Hankies and ribbons. Go under, you go under. Didn't look at me watch when it came on, pretty stupid looking at it now, to be honest. Need your eyebrows up to look at your watch. If you have your eyebrows up, you don't take in the time, do you? My watch has got the date on it, and some months have got 30 days, others have got 31, and the ones have got 30, you have to do the extra day yourself. But before you do it, you always do that rhyme in your head. You know the rhyme, 30 days of September. You always do the rhyme twice, because you get the end of the rhyme the first time, and then you're thinking, hang on, I wasn't listening to myself. I was trying to see how fast I could go. Now, you never get to the end of the rhyme. You only get to the month that you need to know, and you think, there's no point in doing the whole rhyme. That's all I need to know. Some months are easier than other months. September's very easy. You go, 30 days has September. All right. It's not a good rhyme, though, is it? Starts out good. Just drops off towards the end. This is what we learned in school. 30 days has September, April, June, and November. All the rest of 31, except for February. It's your 28. Except the leap year, it's your 29. Whoever got that job to make that rhyme obviously got bored halfway through. I haven't time for this. I have other rhymes to be working on. I'm a busy boy. So, life's good, but tedious. It is, isn't it? It's just the same shit over and over again. Putting the bins out, that's a real reminder of how tedious life is. I've been here before, I hate this. Sneaking rubbish into other people's bins, I enjoyed that. Balaclava on. Never been caught. I hate it when I'm in bed, and then I realise I haven't put the bins out. You know when you're lying, bin night. Or bin morning when you're in a deep sleep and you can hear the bin truck. Running down the path naked with two bins behind you. That's no way to start the day, is it?
You don't get trained by our dads, us heterosexual single men, right? We don't get trained about how to cope if we're single. Or we get drenched in sort of misogynistic testosterone images, you must shag at all times. What if you can't? What if you're emotionally incapable, if that makes sense? Right? I am straight. Sometimes I look at myself and go, WTF, but totes am. So... random. Why is it being so random? I love it. Say badger. Badger. Oh, my God, he's so groundbreaking. every girl in this room, whether you were brought up by your mum, your nan or aunt, you had a female figure that always sat you down and went, babe, mum, I'm an adult now, I don't need to talk, I don't care. I want you to have fun tonight, but listen, if at any point you change your mind, you call me, I will come out and get you in the Nissan Micra. I will come and, mum, you're in back, I don't care, get a taxi, get, I will pay for it, get, I'll be in the cupboard, I'll be watching, checking your safe. Be honest, how many guys, especially if you're from my background, white, working class, shaven-headed, racist, cockney dad, my dad's got not one, not two, but three ripples of meat between head and neck, yeah? An Essex triple ripple. Want me to carry a breeze block? Stick in my triple ripple, no problem. It's unthinkable that if by some miracle I'd pulled a girl when I was 16, my dad had sat me down and gone, now, I do want you to have fun tonight, son, but do not feel any pressure whatsoever to do anything sexual, yeah? Even though your virginity shames me on a daily basis, right? And down the pub, they call me Dave, the dad of the gayer. Don't feel any pressure. That's the only thing which trumps my dad's racism is his virulent homophobia, his fear that his eldest son might be gay. Of course, that's maybe more camp. There was just streams of thin men running up to my bedroom the whole time. I was into Dungeons and Dragons till I was 21. I'm going to be a wizard tonight. My dad downstairs, they're up there bumming. I know they're bumming. I know. Take it out of my son. What does expelliarmus mean? Right. And of course, do you know, the last time I did Apollo, it was a couple of years ago, it goes out, you know, it was on TV in December, and I had to face my dad that Christmas, having brought him to life like this on stage. And I thought he was going to be angry, and I wasn't prepared for the softening of the Alpha's face, yeah? Tears glistening his silver back as he waited for me in the kitchen. I had to chuck a poo to show he was dominant. This is what really happened. It was almost touching, Apollo, almost touching, right? You know what these dads are like? They suddenly show emotions once every 8 Christmases. They have too many Stellas and they do the wobble like that. The eyes go, you're my boy, I never tell you I love you. You know what I mean? That comes, where's this coming from? Right? My dad had never said it. And he's got the 5 Stella wobble, the Christmas hat, he went, come here. And he gets the program name wrong all the time. I saw you on that live from the Apollo, yeah? Just to wind me up, right? Right? Why'd you make it? 3 syllable Essex out. Why'd you make it? Why'd you make out? Right? Why'd you make out? I'm not a loving father. I'm like, where is this coming from? This is quite late in my childhood for this type of closure, and us men, we have to pretend we don't want it, but you do want to hear it. If you're 50 and your dad's 70, you'll cry like a bitch if he uses the L word. Why'd you make out? I'm not a loving father. And I leant in for what I thought was going to be my closure. Do you know what came out of his mouth as his masculinity kicked back in? Why'd you make out? I'm not a loving father. Why, Dad? Yeah, I never bloody hit ya. That was it. That's the total skills it takes to be father of the year. Just don't beat your offspring in the face. That's all. I've not smashed my son's head in. Here comes Silla with an award. But he backed it up. It got better. Do you know why? Do you know why I never hit you? Do you know why? And I leant in. Why, Dad? I could have almost said, Daddy, I'd regressed so much at this point. You know what it's like? You're 8. If you've got a dad like mine, you're 8 when he looks at you. You'll always be 8 until he dies. Why? Do you know why I never hit your boy? Why, Dad? And this is what came out of his mouth, and I was waiting for the love again. It's because if I'd started, I wouldn't have effing stopped. Murder! That's murder!
It's lovely the way I was introduced there. It's really nice to be introduced. It's a really nice thing to get used to in a new job when somebody says your name and people clap and cheer. It's lovely. It was a little bit weird at the doctor's the other day. Nobody clapped. Every time I said clap, I think they thought that's what I had. But I decided in January, I think a lot of people do this in January, I decided in January to try to sort of better myself. I'm not really bothered about losing weight, but I quite like the idea of getting fit, so I thought I'd get myself an exercise DVD. Now, you know when your partner goes shopping, and they say, do you want anything? And you're supposed to say, no, but instead you give them a list. Sometimes I just make shit up I don't even need just to see his face. And he looks at the list and he goes, what's the difference between a tangerine and a satsuma? Ha ha, it's a test. And I said to him, could you get us an exercise DVD? That's what I thought I'd do. I get an exercise DVD. I said, just like a bog standard, like a beginner's guide. A very basic exercise DVD. And he said, no problem. He came home with Davina's Buff Your Abs.
I'm gonna have to lose 3 stone before I can find me bloody abs. So I took it back and I swapped it for the one that I wanted, which was, you know, just fat lass has a go, you know. Other sequel, Fat Lass Tries Again. And I watched the first few minutes, and you know how it's always a celebrity and a trainer, isn't it? Because a celebrity sells the DVDs and the trainer knows what they're doing. And in the first few minutes, they were both laughing at nothing. It was very unnerving. And the trainer said to the celebrity, why don't you tell the viewers at home what weight you were when you started this regime? The celebrity went, when I started this regime, I was 10 stone. I realised then that I'm aiming for a start weight. But I like to eat. Is that so bad? I like to eat. Sometimes I think I've got a tapeworm, but that it's just full. But I'm trying to eat more healthily. I had an apple the other day. Thank you. I put it in my handbag on an optimistic Monday. And by the Thursday, there weren't any Kit Kats left. And I was starving. I thought, I'm going to have to find it. So I looked around in my handbag. And I found it. It was prematurely bruised and battered. It had pen on it. But I was starving, so I peeled off the clean panty liner and I ate it. Of something I'd had years ago that I liked, and I was like, what does it remind me of? I can't remember. Toffee apples.
Hope I haven't offended anybody. You don't know. You can talk about whatever you want on stage. Nobody gives a toss. You talk about cats. Don't talk about cats on TV. You know, even if it's a funny thing about cats. Like Cat in the Bin. Remember that? There was a week of Cat in the Bin. A week of a cat going into a bin. You remember the first time you saw that horrific, horrific footage of the cat go into the bin? I know, live it with me, brothers and sisters. Is it just me, or was your first reaction, why is Susan Boyle putting a cat in the bin? What the hell's going on? Genuinely, my first reaction when I saw the cat go in the... I've turned into such an environmental idiot as I've got older. Genuinely, my first reaction when I saw the cat go into the bin was, oh God, no! Wrong bin! A cat is 100% recyclable! You never know, man. I love the news. And the tabloids. I love the tabloids, man. But are they creepy? Oh, you better believe they are. Here's a classic example, lad. The Middletons. Kate and Pippa. Hey, they must have been raised in pretty much the same upbringing, right? They gotta be pretty similar women. Not in the tabloids, they're not. I feel sorry for Pippa, do you? Because all the filth is on her, isn't it? Because the tabloids can't say anything untoward about Kate, not the future Queen of England. So, oh, here she comes. Lovely, lovely Kate. Oh, lovely, lovely Kate. Here she comes. Duchess of Cambridge. Future Queen of England. Here she is. Oh! Handing out coins to the immigrant children. Look at filthy Pippa! Oh, you filthy cat! An arse to a wedding! Yeah, yeah. Oh, lovely, lovely Kate. Oh, healing the poor with her eyes. Oh. Look at filthy Pippa. Down the docks with a bell. Ding, ding! get it, boys, come on!
That's all I'm saying, people. I hope I haven't offended anyone. You just don't know when you're a comedian. I'll give you an example of this. I did a gig for the biscuit industry. That's right, people. I work for the biscuit industry. You know what I know? It was terrifying, man. It was 15 biscuit businessmen. And I was dreading it, man. You know, not like this. I knew you were going to be good. It turns out they were great. They were fantastic. And that's why I said it. I only said it because they were good. And I didn't walk straight on and say it. At the end of the gig, I went, listen, you've been fantastic. They were like, more. I'm like, no, I can't. I have to go do another gig. But before I go, can I ask you something? They're like, yeah. Anything? Yeah. It's about biscuits. Yeah. This is all I managed to say before the whole crap house went up in flames. Wagon wheels.
I went out recently on a shopping expedition to buy one carrot, right? That was all I wanted, a single carrot. My wife was cooking, she wasn't just cooking that. She had a recipe of which that was a component. She wasn't just gonna cook the carrot. There you are, like an ice lolly. It was more ambitious. And I tend to, she tends to do most of the cooking. I'm aware some people are thinking, I doubt he's got a wife. I bloody have. There's no time to prove it, but just take my word for it. There we are, I own a woman. So you can't say that these days, can you? Anyway, so to get onto more politically correct ground, my wife does all the cooking. It's actually true. I pretty much let my wife cook, but purely because it's a just sensible distribution of skills. My wife is a good cook, and I'm very poor at it. So my wife tends to do the cooking. I think it's quite an enlightened attitude, you know. I think these days, cooking tends to be quite a sort of testosterone-dominated field. It's all your Gordon Ramsay, Marco Pierre, all these people, you know, Jamie Oliver. It's all men. I think someone should be modern enough to say, let's get women cooking. You know, let's be 21st century about this. They've got the same rights as we have in the kitchen. So my wife sent me out to a dangerous gag. No, I wouldn't clap that. That's sort of more clever than funny, really. So my wife was cooking, and I'm happy with my role, which is basically, you know, just foraging. But I went to buy this one, I say foraging, it's very much so. Normally if you go to Tesco, you will lay hands on a carrot. There's no real jeopardy there. Still, I like to pick it up and go, you got it, you know. But actually, well, this is my point. It was surprisingly hard to buy a bloody carrot, right, for a start. So I took it to the till. This is all I was buying, one carrot. First of all, this lady tried to put it in a bag for me, and I always try, you know, to not take a bag if I don't need one for environmental reasons, but they're furious. You'll have tried doing this. If you say, I don't need a bag, they look at you like, how dare you, how dare you? This woman was, she said, what are you gonna do? I was like, well, I don't want to appear cocky here, but I've got two hands, there's only one carrot. I think I will nail this. I'm almost certain I'll get this home by hook or by crook. What am I going to do? Just walk around with one carrot in a bag? I've got my carrot in a bag. How's your day? Yeah, great, just walking with my carrot in its bag. I've got a piece of celery at home and a little bit of Tupperware as well. So, I don't want to make out I'm someone with a repertoire of vegetables that I walk. Anyway, then there's a receipt. She insisted on printing out a bloody receipt, and which meant the till roll had to be changed. Why? Why do you need a receipt for this transaction? All I'm buying is a single carrot. Why would you ever need a receipt? You're not going to bite into it and think, hang on, this is a pear. Right? It's basically buying a carrot can't go that badly wrong. So by now I'm really impatient. Frothing with impatience. I wanted to get home, see my wife, whether she exists or not. And finally, just when I thought I had finally secured this carrot, as I was walking out, this girl said, excuse me, sorry, before you go. So now I have to listen. I said, yes. She said, did you want to pre-order the Harry Potter DVD? Now, what part of my action so far will give you that impression? And I was trying to be polite. I said, sorry? She said, by now she's impatient, like I'm some sort of idiot. Did you want to pre-order the Harry Potter DVD? I mean, no, not really. My aim was to buy a carrot, and I would say I've achieved that modest aim. I mean, if I wanted to buy a Harry Potter DVD, what I'd probably do is go to somewhere like HMV, for example. I'd go to a place where you can buy DVDs. I'd pre-order it. When the time came, I would collect it. I'd take it home. I'd watch it. I wouldn't approach this transaction by going to a supermarket, seizing a carrot from the fruit and veg bit, and then standing there at the checkout thinking, she knows what I really want here. She'll gather my true intentions. She knows that this carrot is a sort of metaphor for an orange wand.
Tell me, does anyone here own a cat? Yeah. Your houses stink. Someone's got to tell him. Some people like cats, some people don't. I was reading the other day, apparently the Pope, he's a cataholic. Catholic. I've had an interesting job recently. I pretended to be a Spanish dentist. Thanks, that doesn't normally work. They said about me that I was too immature to be a father, but when I saw the first few seconds of my son's life, I thought to myself, he's naked. When my daughter was born, she had jaundice, so there she was, small, round, and yellow. We called her Melanie. My parents came up last weekend, because I keep them in the cellar. That's not true. I don't know who they are. See, when I was young, I used to walk through the front door. I was hit by roast beef and Yorkshire pudding, opened the airing cupboard, spaghetti bolognese all over me. We literally didn't know where the next meal was coming from. My grandparents, their names are Pearl and Dean. Of course, we just know them as Gran and Grandpapa, Papa, 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 Papa. Any students here? Your houses stink. Someone's got to tell him. Don't talk to me about unemployment. I come from a tiny fishing village in Derbyshire. I work... It's not near the sea.